if you stand on God's word, when trouble comes, when rain of temptation comes, when all kinds of affliction come upon you, you will survive.
Yes, 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 sir. Yes, sir.
But you got to have a solid foundation.
Yes.
And the house or whatever you build is determined by the foundation.
Yes.
You're not going to build no skyscraper on the foundation you build a house on. It ain't going to stand. So your life must be built on the word of God.
Yes.
That's the substance. That's your support.
Yes.
Evidence. That's your conviction. The inward conviction from God that what he has promised, he will perform. Promise, the presence of God given to us in our faith, it gives us a conviction inside that God will keep his word.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events on the Mount Olive Baptist Church, Sunday school, 9:30 a.m., worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Assist me in bringing this message today as we continue our teaching upon the subject that is so near and dear all of our hearts, prayer. All right, I want you to come on to this mic if you want to volunteer to be a reader. You ain't got to be a minister. If you just feel like you want to share today, I just want to. Don't be all day now. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. Now we're going to go through several verses, so you don't have to stand. Luke 11:1, I want to begin there because I want us to look at what we're dealing with scripturally.
Luke 11:1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples.
Amen. Now, this is where we get our theme, Lord, teach us how to pray. John's disciples, Jesus' disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. And what is so especially wonderful about this, turn to Matthew chapter 6, if you will, is that Jesus, I want to look, and he goes into partial parts of the prayer in Luke 11. But I want to go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And what I want to do is share with you from verse 5 to verse 8, because our time is far spent. What time is it?
8:01.
Thank you. All right, our time is just allowing us to set this up today so that we can get further into this structure of prayer. One of the things the enemy never wants you to know is what God wants you to know.
Amen.
And And see, when we understand the structure, when we understand the principles, then we can operate according to the principles that God will profit if we practice them. And that's why the enemy don't want us to preach this, because when you really learn the principles of prayer, you won't need anyone else to pray for you. You might ask them to pray with you.
Amen.
But you'll know how to pray for yourself.
Amen.
And you'll know how to enter in and enter out and go into the things of God as you should, and be able to, whatever time of day or night, seek the throne of God and be able to access it because of the privilege that you have. But let's look at Matthew 6 and 5. Verse 5, please.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward.
Yeah. All right. Now, the first thing Jesus deals with concerning prayer is, one, how you ought not pray. So what we have in verse 5 is an indictment against folk who are putting on a show.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay. You ought not pray for show.
That's right.
Now, I didn't say you ought not pray for S-U-R-E for sure. I say you ought not pray for S-H-O-W.
Amen.
Putting on a show.
Amen.
And notice Jesus called them what?
Hypocrites.
Hypocrites. So what is a hypocrite? I'm glad you asked.
Amen.
A hypocrite is one who pretend to be one thing.
Yes, amen.
But truth of the matter is, they really it's a wolf.
Yes.
In sheep clothing.
Amen.
That's a hypocrite. They come with their religious garbs on, with their religious phrases on. They know how to twist their face and hold their hands. They know how to look like they are hurting like a Christian.
Amen.
When they're talking to God, they know how to hold their stomach where the issues of life flow from. They know all of the stuff, but ain't nothing real underneath the skin.
Amen. Amen.
They're pretending and performing.
Amen.
And so Jesus calls them hypocrites, standing in the streets and the marketplaces where they can get a crowd.
That's right.
See, people who put on a show like folk to see.
That's right.
It don't make sense to put on a show and ain't nobody looking.
That's right.
So they want to put on a show where folk are. That's why some folk don't want to pray when it ain't but a few folk around. But let the church be packed with the God. I pray today. Yeah. So first thing is, there's an indictment against the folk who say they are Christians, but the word is clear that they are hypocrites. Let's go on to verse 6 now.
All right. Verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly.
Amen. Now, verse 5 was an indictment, but verse 2 is instruction. I mean, verse 6 is instructional. Here's what he's saying. Now, when you pray, talking about the believers.
Amen.
You find you a quiet place.
Amen.
Matter of fact, he used closet as a very deeply personal and private place. He says, not only go in there, but
close the door.
Amen.
Close the door shut.
Amen.
Why? Because you don't even want folk outside the door, in the same house, to know what you're in there doing.
Amen.
You find your place and your peace in those little confined areas where you are talking to God. It really ain't nobody else's business. So you ain't got to do that in front of nobody. So you go in secret.
Amen.
Now, verse 5 talks about those putting on a show. And then he's talking about the believer praying in secret. Yeah. Now, here's what Jesus says. He says, but ye, you, talking about the believers, when you pray, you go into your closet, you shut the door, and when you pray to your Father who seeth in secret, he will do what?
Reward you.
How will he reward you?
Openly.
So now what does that tell us in these instructions? Because when he says how to do this, Jesus is saying, I'm trying to tell you how to get a prayer through.
Amen. Amen.
And what he's saying to them is, now listen, now a closet does not necessarily mean a closet. It means a private place. It means a place where you're set off and set aside by yourself. And so it doesn't mean a literal closet. For somebody to say, well, now I ain't got no closet. I couldn't even get in my closet. You know, I got closet issues. You know, whatever. But that it means a very private space where you can go before God and be real with him.
Amen.
Be open with him.
Amen.
Be honest with him. Say to him the things you need to say to him without anybody else hearing. Listen. One of the things you need to be with God is transparent.
Amen. Amen.
Why? Because he already knows what you want to tell him anyhow.
Amen.
You ain't telling him no secret. His eyes are in every place. His ears are in every place. He already knows what you've done, what you're doing.
Yes.
He knows what you want to confess. He knows what you want to ask.
Amen.
And so the reality is he just wants you to confess it.
Amen.
And there are just some things you won't confess around other folks.
That's right.
So he's saying, get to a place where you can confess those things instructional. Now, read verse 7, because it continues with the instructions.
Verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking.
All right. Now, verse 5 tells us about folks standing to be seen for a show.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 6 tells us to go in our prayer closets and shut the door so that we pray in secret. But now, verse 7 deals with much speaking. Some folk think that real prayer is praying long.
Amen.
Haven't you really been embarrassed, truthfully, now be honest with me for a minute, when you've been to prayer service and somebody can pray for 30 minutes and you ain't got but 30 seconds to pray? You're like, look, after a minute, I ain't really got much more to say to you, Lord, right now, at this point in my life. You see, because you have to develop that relationship with God.
Amen.
You know, whatever is real to you, and if you can pray in 30 seconds and it's real, God honors that.
Amen.
If you can pray for 3 hours and it's real, God honors that.
Yes. Amen.
But what is that God honors is realness. Realness. Don't think that real praying is long praying. Nor is it prayer that repeats vain repetition.
Amen.
Listen, what is vain repetition? It is filler phrases.
That's right. Amen.
Now, filler phrases are phrases that we use just to fill or complete a sentence.
That's right.
It's not what we really mean.
Mm-hmm.
Bless God, holy, thank you, Jesus, my God, Father, Lord, have mercy, Jesus, thank you, Lord God, praise the Lord, amen, thank you, God, all this. Now, if we were adding fuller praise,
yes,
that would be fine, but when we are filling up the gap because we don't know what to say, and then we keep saying that over and over and over again, maybe it's time you cut your prayer off.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
When you find yourself repeating vain repetition over and over and over again, then that means it's time to cut your prayer off. How many times have you got down to pray and you started praying and sleep overcame you and you were down there praying and you were praying like, where did I leave off at? Oh, yeah. And you go back to your familiar vain repetition and you go through that and you find yourself saying that 3-4 times. You know what? Just say, Lord, you know I'm sleeping. Let me go and go to bed. And I'm going to catch you when I can be clear and real with you. Yeah, because all of that just going through that, God knows your heart.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
God knows your heart. And nothing, listen, nothing irks God more than you wasting time with stuff you don't mean. Stuff you don't mean. Prayer is a serious thing.
Yes, amen.
It's personal communication with our God.
Amen.
With the God who is above all other gods. It's a serious thing. And so you need to take prayer seriously.
Amen.
And when you communicate, because just think of prayer as communicating with God, your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, your desires, your petitions, your confessions, it's communicating with Him.
Amen.
And you communicate with Him by being real and discussing or declaring the issues of your heart.
Amen.
Not just the stuff in your head. Stop trying to figure out these sayings like other folks say to add to your prayer.
Amen.
Leave the vain repetition alone. The old folk used to say, call Him up.
Amen.
And tell Him what you know. Now, I mean, again, it has to be real to you, and we've gone through this before. Prayer all through the Word of God, I mean, varies from a traditional prayer. I mean traditional in a sense, but I mean like in the New Testament, when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water that early morn, and he asked the Lord if that was Him to bid him to come. And Jesus told him to come. He prayed 13 words to get out on the water. When he started drowning, he cut 10 of those words off and said, Lord, save me. And what happened? The Lord saved him. Now, what if he had been filled with vain repetition? You sit high and you look down low. My father,
amen.
I ain't got time for that. Lord, save me.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus reached there, picked him up. See, prayer doesn't have to be long to be strong.
Amen.
When Elijah prayed on Mount Carmel and all of those other Baal prophets and prophets of the grove, 850 of them called on Baal from 9 till 3 o'clock. And Elijah fixed the altar up and did all that he needed to do in preparations and prayed a 63-word prayer. And God rained fire down from heaven. Fire down from heaven. 63 words. 63 words. And did what they couldn't do in 6 hours. When Hezekiah got the word from Isaiah, get your house in order, you shall die and not live. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, prayed a 30-word prayer, and got 15 years added on to his life. 15 years for 30 words. And there was no vain repetition in his prayer, nor in Peter's prayer, nor in Elijah's prayer, and all through the Word of God, where you've seen God act upon the prayers of the people of God, because they were real. Amen. And they told him what they wanted.
Amen.
No vain repetition.
Amen.
No using fillers and phrases and all of that. Just telling him what they wanted.
Amen.
Verse 8.
Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him.
Ah, thank you very much. You may be seated. Let's give her a hand. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Now, verse 8 is talking about seeking. God knows what you are seeking, and that's inspirational. Now, he starts off dealing with an indictment, telling in verse 5, those who are hypocritical, who love to be seen and put on a show, that they have their reward. God ain't even listening to that. Whatever accolades they get, whatever pats on the back, whatever man you show prayed, that's their reward. That's all they're going to get, because God didn't even hear that mess. Then he, in verse 6, instructs us on what we ought to do. Go in our closet, close our doors, pray in secret. God, who will see in secret, will openly reward us. That means we ain't got to go around telling everybody what we told God. But God will show them what we told him. You know, sometimes you got to be careful about telling everybody your business. Because sometimes when you tell folk to be in prayer with you, sometimes they get P-R-A-Y, pray, and P-R-E-Y mixed up. Yeah, some of y'all missed that. Yeah. And sometimes what they do is they pray against you rather than praying with you. And so sometimes you just need to tell the Lord and nobody else about what it is you desire. You close your door, talk to him, be honest with him, be real with him. And Jesus instructs us that when we do it in secret, God will see it and reward us openly. I've been believing God for a new car. Well, I ain't won't tell nobody because my credit is bad and I ain't got no money and so forth and so on. But I told God about it. And how many of you don't understand that God can give me a new car without a new job? See, you don't know how God does what he does, but the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. God's got some folk with enough money, and all he has to do is give me enough favor till they will bless me. And I ain't had to put a penny on it. Am I talking to anybody in the house today? So when you pray in secret, God will reward you openly. And when they say, how did you get this? I just told the Lord all about it. All right. And then he continues on with the instructions of saying, don't use vain repetition. Because many think that they will be heard because of their much speaking. God is saying, listen, if it's real, if it's honest, if it's from the heart, just tell me what you want. Leave out all that rest of the stuff that you're just saying to be saying, or that sounds good, or that church rhetoric that you've heard somebody else pray. They may mean that. But you're just saying it to fill in and add to your prayer. And then lastly, here Jesus says, here's the reason why. Because your heavenly Father,
yes, sir,
knows what you're seeking.
Yes.
He already knows what you have need of. So if he knows what you're seeking, then that means all he's waiting for you to do is release it out of your mouth, because he himself already knew what your request was, what your needs are, what your desires are, what you long for. You're not surprising God. God knows these things already. And it ought to make it easier for you to be real with him, since he already knows what you want. You know how you've gone to folk and you want to ask them for something, but it's so big, it's like, whew, well. Now look, don't sit down. Maybe you ought to just sit down. For I tell you, I know you want, this is mighty big. I'm telling you up front, you ain't got to go through all that with God. Because listen, he's already prepared to do more than you can ask for. More than you can think. He's already prepared to give you more than you can even fathom. So don't think your request will blow God away. You can't think that big. You can't ask anything that much of God that it's too much for him. So just be real with him. Make sure that your requests are biblically based, so that when you go to him, you know that he's already willing to do what you're asking him to do from his word. And so Jesus helps us before he ever starts telling us what to say. He gives us a few little helpful holy hints so that you won't waste your time praying what we call the Lord's Prayer, or the model prayer that he goes on in verse 9 when he says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, amen, our Father. And then he goes on through the verse 13, praying this prayer. Now, keep in mind, structure is important. Principles are important. Why? If Jesus took out time before he taught his disciples to pray to cover this ground, I thought it helpful to us to understand that he has an indictment against folk who pray for show. That I would let you know that. I thought it would be helpful to tell you that God wants to have a personal, private, intimate time of communication with you. Sometimes he just wanted to be just you and him. And then I thought it would be helpful for me to tell you that you don't have to get caught up on long prayers if you ain't got one. Now, sometimes you got a list that's so long it might take hours to go through. And that's fine. God is good with that. But as long as it's real, true, genuine communication with God, he's fine. But when you just saying stuff and going over and over and over and over and just saying meaningless phrases and just saying things just to be saying them, God is not into that. And he's not going to answer you because you think because of your much speaking, God is impressed with that. No, who you're trying to impress is man, who can't do nothing about your prayers. So that's one of the reasons why when you go in your prayer closet, you ain't got to worry about being on a time clock trying to impress nobody. It's communicating with God from your heart, from your inward parts. And then it's remembering that he already knows what you need. And that's inspirational. It's inspirational because when you think about the fact that God is just waiting on you to say it, he's got the power to do it. Can't nothing stop him but your unbelief and you're not following the scripture as Jesus is teaching. Listen, he has all power to do all things. So when you know this and know already, he's already gotten the memo. Amen. He just want to know if you're going to be honest enough to come to him and say it. You know, and when that makes sense to you in prayer,